little. I will continue to play this song until Greg Gunderson appears with Packer information. Actually not bad.
No, it's really not. I just busted in here and see a big CWA attitude. CWA logo on your screen. Cheeseheads with attitude.
Little Lady Gaga remake of Poker Face. Ma. Might have to put this into the Packers song rotation.
Very good. We're going back to back
repeat for all to see. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's delve into the gray area for a moment here and talk a little Packers and, of course, the free agency and all that off-season stuff continues. Greg gave me a sheet with a timeline of everything that happens during the off-season, and I have it here somewhere.
We're in the big lull, Joel.
The big lull.
It sounds like we've actually got North Lakes is on the line right now.
Oh, okay.
So... Did you want to just put me on the back burner, Joel? That's what you usually do when anything else pops up.
I will back burner you for just a moment, okay? until they call on the regular hotline here.
I want to talk about football.
Give me 30 seconds. Tease them a little bit on what we'll talk about.
The Packers are America's small town team. I have the data to back it up. You already know it. I'm going to tell you what you already know. I've got the proof that you may not already have. Also, I've got a fun little stat today about the lull that we're in as we approach the draft. We're kind of upon breaking a 32-year-old NFL record. It's an interesting one, though. The record itself is boring, but it's got a fun history. Those two things I want to focus on.
And this has been... would it say a dull stretch here for the Packers in the last couple of weeks? Nothing real earth-shattering, right?
Headline-wise, yes, but there's still information that can be gained from what hasn't happened yet. Jaire Alexander has not been released. There has been no wide receiver added, and yes, obviously, but there's more information. You can read between the lines of these things and get quite a bit out of it, matter of fact.
And the draft, of course, is the big story because it's in Green Bay.
It is. April 24th through 26th. It hasn't been in Green Bay for quite a while. So if you have, there are probably still options to attend that. I'd encourage you to Google about it if you're interested.
Watch out for the scams. There's a lot of scams going on with this for people offering lodging that doesn't exist and tickets that are fake. So just be very, very cautious as you head over there, because the people that do the scamming, they know how passionate Packer fans are and how badly they want to be there. So you have to put your guard up with this.
Always make sure you recognize the name of the website you're on and that it's actually that website.
Yep. All right. We'll do a little chat with Gray coming up a little bit later on this hour, so stay tuned. All right. We all cheer so loud, not many miss a game. Wisconsin's oh so. More Packer music and back to Packer talk.
That was some egregious auto tune right there. When
you're a cheese, little Kid Rock, like isn't it?
Trying to figure out Kid Rock.
This is like 10 years. How did I not stumble upon these songs? Oh, this is the same group that did the song "I'm a Cheesehead Baby." All right, it's the same group, but this whole album is from like 10 years old. It's good stuff. All right, Greg Gunderson here, part two of the gray area, since we got cut off there, how rudely.
Actually, this is like the main act after the preview, yeah.
Yes, the warm-up act is over, and we're going to talk a little Packer info here and the small market. The small market Packers, right?
Yes, actually, that is exactly what I wanted to talk about, because Eric Stokes, anybody who catches my 4 o'clock Packer talk knows that Eric Stokes was basically, he was public enemy number one for me. I was pretty rough on him all of last season because he's a former first round pick for the Packers, and I was calling it all season that he would be off the team, but that wasn't exactly a hot take. He was underperforming. He was a former first round pick who had gone 1,000 snaps without an interception or even a pass breakup, and he's a defensive back. He's a cornerback. So that was, I mean, it was unacceptable. That said, he started to trend upwards at the end of the season, and there was some talk maybe he might stay, but nope, he's a Raider. Shortly after we acquired Nate Hobbs, free agent from the Raiders, a direct upgrade, we lost Eric Stokes to the Raiders, and I am just so torn up about
You're
it.
You're stoked, aren't you?
All right. I wish I could, but dump. You, I don't have the buttons. But
my brain and my hands are not working at all together today.
he's right. He just tried to. Oh, we've tried to click. Three I think times. Just click right there. Just click.
I
right
think
there.
It's the fact that. But I'm a little bit okay. There we go. Jeez,
we got there though.
Please, Joel.
It must
goodness
be
gracious.
Tuesday.
Oh my!
My goodness.
No, so Stokes is gone.
Stokes is gone. But he had some funny comments. First of all, I want to lead with the fact that he said he loves Green Bay, and who wouldn't? I think anybody would love Green Bay. But Green Bay, Eric Stokes has a problem with. You can't get anything to eat after 10 o'clock, and that's that's what he says. I'm sure that's absolutely top of his list for why he's excited to be playing in Vegas now. I'm sure it's the food. 100% the food and nothing else. But he actually does have a point. I was looking in the online forum I read, the comments on this post, people were saying even before COVID, there was nothing to eat in Green Bay before 10. So he was like,
that's why God made Quick Trip, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, in Quick Trip's presence, I mean, you can only eat so many cheesy garlic breadsticks dipped in marinara, or maybe I should test that. I've had a few of them before.
It's a little better now, but
when you make millions, you look around with a different set of eyes, I think. And
well, eat is the key word there. What are you looking? Are you looking for like a sit down ribs dinner or something? No, that ain't gonna happen because it's just not. People just aren't out and about anymore after 10 o'clock at night, so that's not gonna happen.
Right, and that's what people were saying was that he's absolutely right. There wasn't a market for it pre-COVID, and that a lot of those businesses got knocked out, even in a city the size of Green Bay, which, by the way, a big city, the food and nothing else. But he actually does have a point. I was looking in the online forum I read, the comments on this post, people were saying even before COVID, there was nothing to eat in Green Bay before 10. So he was like,
that's why God made Quick Trip, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, in Quick Trip's presence, I mean, you can only eat so many cheesy garlic breadsticks dipped in marinara, or maybe I should test that. I've had a few of them before.
It's a little better now, but
when you make millions, you look around with a different set of eyes, I think. And
well, eat is the key word there. What are you looking? Are you looking for like a sit down ribs dinner or something? No, that ain't gonna happen because it's just not. People just aren't out and about anymore after 10 o'clock at night, so that's not gonna happen.
Right, and that's what people were saying was that he's absolutely right. There wasn't a market for it pre-COVID, and that a lot of those businesses got knocked out, even in a city the size of Green Bay, which, by the way, a big city to us. But his comments reminded me of why the Packers are so incredibly unique. If you've ever been to Lambeau Field, you know it's backyard, Lambeau
Stadium,
Field.
Right?
Bam, right there, right. And that's, you know, people are having parking in their yards, $50 for you to tear up my front lawn, and that's fine, and making money off that kind of thing. That to me is entirely unique. Look at the division. Not to knock anybody, but the Minnesota Vikings, sure, but US Bank Stadium. Heart of Minneapolis, the Chicago Bears, the Detroit Lions, they're all city teams, except, I mean, Minnesota has an argument. The stadium, heart of the city. The Packers, sure, it feels to us like, yeah, Green Bay's a big city. No, it's not. It is the smallest metro area of any NFL team by a mile. 0.3 million people.
Probably any major league team, I would guess.
I wouldn't doubt that. Yeah. I actually only looked in the NFL, but 0.3 million
300,000 people in Green Bay.
And you may ask, why am I saying 0.3 million? Because of 32 teams, we're number 32. The Packers are. The next smallest, New Orleans. New Orleans, a million people. NOLA is the next smallest NFL city.
I would have thought there would have been more in New Orleans.
I would have thought so too, but I mean, I'm sure Katrina, I know there was it took its direct toll, but a lot of people kind of trickled out. The population shrinkage was more than just the direct impact of the storm there.
Right.
I don't know how significant that was. It might have been pretty decent, but even then, you can't imagine it was much more than 2 or 3 million at most.
Right.
That said, you get in, of course, the other end is the Jets and the Giants in New York with over 20 million. Everyone but Green Bay is in a metro area of a million or more. Yeah. All of them. So, yeah, it feels to us like that 100,000 in the actual city of Green Bay, 0.3 million, 300,000 in the area. But we're the only ones under a million, and it's 0.3 million.
Not even close.
No, nowhere near. Nowhere near. How Dallas got the title of America's team, I think it was highway robbery of some sort. It's just wrong. And I think it should get more recognition that the Packers are the only small town team. And yeah, I will say it, Green Bay is a small town in NFL terms. Look at the other 31 NFL teams. And by the way, if you look at the top 50 most populated metro areas in the country, the top 50, you'll find 31 NFL team homes. The most populated areas of the 50 most populated areas in the U.S., 31 NFL teams amongst them. Only the Packers aren't in that top 50 most populated area list.
It's great, and it is. It really is, because the heart of America is in the Midwest, is in the farming. That's the roots of America, and Green Bay just screams that heart of America.
Yeah. And there it is. I love that quote. It's a gigantic stretch to call Green Bay a small town, but it is the smallest market with a major league sports franchise.
Yep.
Ha!
Yep.
And it's staying there, too. That is entrenched. I think the kind of roots that you grow in a small town are entirely unique, and it won't be replicable, and it won't be moving anywhere. They might have to rebuild a new stadium, but other side of town's as far as they're going to go, as far as I'm concerned.
Speaking of the antiques that we talked about the other day on the Gray Area, that same antique story, Gaslight Antiques, had a little bit of a display there. And it had a certificate that was good for 10 shares of Green Bay Packers stock. And I, as a Viking fan, of course, I looked at she pointed it out to me. I looked at that, and there was a price tag on it, and I said, why is there a price tag on it? It's worthless.
I think it's a Simpson quote. Like, you know, there's a little kid hole. Wow, this is completely useless.
Yeah. I mean, it's a piece of history, but I saw that and I just had to make a little jab.
No, I'll jab Packers stock owners. I will become one someday because I love it. But also, you can't pretend that you have no bargaining power. It says directly on it or in the paperwork that comes with it that it doesn't represent any real decision-making power, though you are allowed to attend a meeting. Like, it doesn't actually represent any interest in the team.
I would like to have a discussion at some point in the Gray Area of a scenario. Is there a scenario that exists where the Packers would go private, would go to an individual owner? What would it take? How could that happen?
To an individual? Oh, man.
I mean, could that ever happen? What would be the process? I'd have to delve into it a little bit and see if that's even something that could even be possible,
you know,
that it could go private and not public like it is now.
I hardly even want to mention it, but I feel like I read a provision about what would happen if it were no longer publicly owned. I think it's supposed to be given to a particular, we're getting EAS'd.
And we're back.
buzzy.
The mighty
buzz.
EAS test. So there's a provision you're saying.
I think there's a provision within the paperwork of the team's founding that it's supposed to go to a particular person or group of people. And I have this weird feeling that it was like a grocery store or something. I'd have to research it. So
Piggly Wiggly's at it.
Follow up with me in the 4 o'clock hour. I'll verify what's supposed to happen if the team is no longer publicly owned. But I swear I remember reading about something like this. So I think there might even, in fact, be a barrier. Basically, there's only one exit strategy for no longer publicly owned.
Yeah.
That said, what scares me is that there are new options in that equation than ever before. Just last season, NFL ownership voted to approve private equity ownership of NFL teams. That means certain types of financial entities can now purchase a share. They weren't allowed to before. And this is all a tongue-in-cheek phrase for money from overseas. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of money that's suddenly going to become a portion of NFL team ownership. And in most cases, I hate to say it, it's coming from oil-rich individuals, you know, like Live Golf. Mm-hmm. You get things like that pop up. So I'm hoping we don't get a Live Football. I don't think we'll see anything like that. But there are new questions around NFL ownership that weren't even really relevant before.
Well, so, the NFL wants an international team. They just can't quite figure out how to do it yet.
I personally suspect that that's a lot of why private equity was approved, because look at things that private equity has been involved in the past, and they don't necessarily have a popular track record with the audience. They've got a great track record with shareholders.
There you go.
And that's not the same group of people.
Great Talks Packers every day at 4 in the 4 o'clock hour if you want to tune in then. If you can tune in the rest of the show too. But
that would be awesome.
Especially 4 o'clock. That would be awesome.
You can use me for football. I would allow it. But hey, if I do country music too.
Thank you, Gray.
Thanks, Joel.
Greg Gunderson this afternoon from 2 to 7.